We are now recording.
We are recording. It doesn't appear that we have any attendees, but I will get my gavel out and make it official. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session of the City of Bainbridge Island Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is February 25th of 2021 at 10 a.m. We have one item on the agenda this morning. This is number PLN 51228RUE, a request for a reasonable use exception to allow the development of a single family residence and attached garage or detached garage currently, I think, within a wetland buffer on a 1.03 acre site identified by tax parcel number 34260240332007 off of Northeast Sparger Loop Road in the northern portion of the island. My name is Andrew Reeves. I'm a hearing examiner with Sound Law Center, who the city has selected to hold certain land use application hearings like this one. And today it will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal would comply with the city's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and the specific criteria for approval of a reasonable use exception under section 1620.080 of the municipal code. To that end, I received, I think it was 14 exhibits, 13 or 14, my apologies, it's one or the other. I will make sure I get that right, hold on. 14 exhibits in advance of the hearing today that I had an opportunity to review. These include a staff report prepared by city staff, the application materials themselves, information about the notice that went out in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing, sort of several comments from city staff that related to its review of this proposal over the last, I guess, almost 2 years, it looks like, information on the septic system and some of the challenges that are faced in terms of a project like this. And so there was thorough review of that, a critical areas wetland delineation and mitigation plan that I reviewed, as well as, like I said, comments from reviewing staff, including comments from engineering and the health district on this proposal. So I'm going to go ahead and admit those 14 exhibits into the record. Should anyone have additional exhibits they'd like admitted into the record, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I'll go ahead and address admitting additional exhibits at that time. Speaking of testimony, all testimony today will be under oath or affirmation. That's because when my decision to be appealed under our state's land use petition act, the audio, hopefully just the audio, but the recording of today's hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits in my decision, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. I may and often do ask questions of those that are testifying. I'm not trying to trip anyone up. I'm just trying to ensure I have a thorough understanding of the proposal so that within 10 business days of the record closing, I'm able to produce a decision that is hopefully clear and legally defensible. Finally, the order that we typically follow, and I believe we're going to follow today, is first I will swear in our planning staff, who will give an overview of the proposal along with any recommendations that staff may have. Then we'll turn it to our applicants to present any additional information they feel that myself and members of the public should be aware of before I make a decision. Then we will give an opportunity for members of the public to testify. Currently, there are no members of the public that have joined us, but just in case they do, they will have that opportunity. And then if appropriate at the end, we'll turn it back to respond to that testimony, turn it back to the applicant and city staff. So that's the order we're going to follow. I thank everyone for being here, even if slightly broken in some instances, to partake in our process today. That's a nod to Mr. Nyland, our development review engineer, who pointed out before we got on the record today that he went ahead and broke his body significantly in a bicycle accident. So we wish him well in his recovery, but he has made himself available to provide his expertise from an engineering standpoint on the proposal. So we thank him for that. So to start, I will turn it to Ms. Hillier, our planning staff, and get her sworn in to give an overview of the proposal. So Ms. Hillier, do you swear for him to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Great, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Good morning, Hearing Examiner Reeves. Thank you for holding today's hearing, and thank you to the others who have joined us today, including the applicant and their project biologist. My name is Annie Hillier. I'm a planner for the City of Bainbridge Island, and I served as the city's project manager for this proposal, the Huguette-Crohman RUE. I just have a very brief introduction prepared for you this morning, which addresses some of the information provided in the staff report that was made available ahead of the hearing. Following my introduction, I'm happy to answer questions or allow the applicant to further introduce their project. So as you know, the proposal is for a single family residence and garage on a lot encumbered with wetlands and wetland buffers. The applicant proposes to use the site's existing driveway for access and to locate the SFR in an area that's currently maintained as lawn and that's also partially overgrown by invasive blackberries. As discussed in the staff report, the city agrees that this is an appropriate area to site the development as it's a historically disturbed area and it is located outside of the wetlands themselves. However, because this area is considered wetland buffer, mitigation to compensate for permanent impacts is proposed. And because the entire site is encumbered by either wetlands or buffers, a reasonable use exception has appropriately been requested. A couple of additional things that make this proposal a little bit different than similar requests. One, suitable soils for a septic drain field were found on the adjacent lot, which the applicants own, which is also encumbered by wetlands and buffers. The drain field is proposed on the adjacent lot in the area best suited for a drain field, but mitigation will take place on the subject property. The health district has preliminarily given their approval and is in support of issuing a waiver to allow the septic line from the tanks to the drain field to cross within 50 feet of an existing well, but outside of the actual wetland edge. And two, at the request of the applicant, the city has recommended that reasonable use review criteria number two, there is no reasonable alternative to the proposal with less impact to the critical area or its required buffer, be further addressed prior to building permit issuance. At the time of the RUE application, the applicant had not decided on a set of building plans. So this condition allows the applicant to explore adjustments to the site plan layout that can further minimize impacts to the critical area while they're considering building designs. It will also allow the applicant to explore the feasibility of a low impact foundation design as a part of this process. If a significant change in impacts to the critical area were expected as a part of this process, such as an entirely new location for the development, the city would have recommended that this be resolved prior to the hearing, but in this case, the city believes that this approach is reasonable. At this time, I believe I've summarized the items that I think make this proposal unique compared to other similar requests. Again, the fact that the applicants own the adjacent lot where the septic drain field is proposed, and the city's support of the applicant's request to identify ways to further reduce impacts at the building permit stage. I'm happy to answer questions about the city's recommendation at any point. Thank you.
Sure, and I think you sort of just answered my question, Ms. Hillier, but the idea is that the sort of site development footprint itself is not really expected to change, but this would allow the applicant to explore, you know, alternatives to slab on grade foundation, maybe cantilevered or, you know, any of those other cool LID techniques and other ways to reduce impacts. But the idea is we wouldn't have further encroachment into toward the wetlands. It's more just to allow sort of further engineering review. Is that the basic concept?
Yes, that's the basic concept.
Okay, good. And then, yeah, so this is somewhat unique. I just want to clarify. I think you do kind of mention it in the staff report, but I want to be clear that this is not a situation where our applicants short platted the property and are now requesting a reasonable use exception on a substandard lot they just short platted, right? This is a historic lot, even though they happen to own it and the one next to it. They didn't create the situation, correct?
That's correct. They did not create the situation that's requiring the RUE.
Got it. Okay. I thought that was true, but I have had someone try that before in a different jurisdiction, and I pointed out that that is completely unacceptable under all the laws that I'm aware of in our state. So not an issue here. I wasn't trying to imply that anything untoward happened. I just wanted to make sure it was clear on the record. So that covers that issue. There is the weirdness about the drain field is going to be on the existing property. And I think I fully understand that. But I guess my only question specific to that issue is I didn't see anything in the conditions that requires something being recorded for that adjacent property. That way, if the applicants were to sell this property, we want to ensure that whoever were to buy the new, you know, house doesn't have an access issue and they have an appropriate easement, et cetera. Did staff give any thought to requiring a condition to that effect?
We gave consideration to it. In the city, in our municipal code, there's a provision that states that the city is not responsible for enforcing private easement agreements. But I did speak with the city's surveying program manager about this matter, and he didn't think anything was necessary for the city at this time, but at the time of sale, that may need to happen, but it would be independent of the city's involvement in the property. That's my understanding. And okay, it's possible that the applicant may have considered this, but I'm not sure.
We can ask him about it. I guess I'm just thinking, you know, try to avoid future conflict is always good. And it is weird. And I guess technically under the law, you can't grant an easement to yourself.
But yes,
I think there's probably a way to at least record something, but we can ask the applicant about it. But as long as someone has thought it through other than me, I think that satisfies that particular concern. Let me make sure, check my notes. I think in terms of questions specifically for you, Ms. Hilliard, that probably answered the specific questions I had. To clarify, the building footprint is approximately, well, I know we don't use the term, but in my mind, the term, I guess you would use the envelope, is approximately 1,198 square feet, which is under the 1,200 allowed by code. And then there's approximately, looks like 5,000 additional square feet of potential permanent impacts, including 1,005 square feet of impacts from parking and driveway areas, but then approximately 6,200 square feet of buffer enhancement would occur to offset. Did I grasp all that okay?
Yeah, that sounds correct. It's approximately a one-to-one ratio. Could potentially be decreased a little bit when that alternatives analysis is done at the building permit stage. We wouldn't expect the impacts to increase. But yes, that does sound like a good summary.
Okay, great. Good. Well, thank you. I think then that does answer the specific questions I had for you. And just to clarify, there were no additional comments that came in before the hearing today. Everything, 14 exhibits seems to be the correct number. Is that right?
That's correct.
Excellent. Well, I know we have Mr. Nyland here. I think before we turn it to the applicant and their biologist, I'll swear Mr. Nyland in and he can just briefly explain for me any engineering concerns the city might have. So, oh, look at that. It's so good with the cast. Mr. Nyland, do you swear affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm anticipating there aren't any really unique considerations here beyond a sort of a normal reasonable use exception. The stormwater plan and solution is a conceptual and in theory is acceptable and complies with the accepted stormwater code and the stormwater management manual of Western Washington as adopted by the city of Bainbridge Island. The paved road approach, we had a similar case, if you recall, in the last 6 weeks or so. However, the analysis for this one is earlier in my career. So that sort of condition about, hey, we could consider not including the paved road approach if the wetland biologist or the applicant justified that additional pavement would be overly harmful to the wetland on site, right? So that's a standard condition that we like to pave the road approaches from the edge of pavement to the property line, but we would probably, without having said it in this case, the same issue is true in that we would at least consider not requiring that.
Okay, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. So clearly, we've evolved in our handling of those things. Sometimes that happens. So
sure. So as you noted, I feel like this is the third or fourth Ruex we have had, and just in the last few months, apparently everyone wants to move or build a house on Bainbridge Island, and every single available parcel has some form of critical areas encumbering the entirety of the parcel. So these are becoming common. But in terms of what we just discussed, the basic idea is that when the driveway meets the city's road, the public right-of-way, the traditional approach would be you pave, you sort of connect it so that it's paved, but over the evolution of time, as Mr. Nyland and the city has thought it through over time, they've determined, you know, in some instances, we don't necessarily need to have that done if it would create a sort of beneficial impacts in terms of critical areas. Did I sum that up okay, Mr. Nyland?
Yes, sir, that's correct. We would technically call those competing agendas.
There you go. And so I guess my thought is I have that language from previous permits and I could import that into the conditions. Again, it's not the city saying we absolutely agree that this is not necessary. It's the city saying with final plans, we will look at this. And if we think that it's beneficial in terms of critical areas, there might be a waiver of some kind in terms of how that paving.
Yes, sir.
Connecting the driveway to the road work. Does that make sense?
Does it make sense? I don't have any objection to that. I would just like to say that the default would be that the city will require the paved road approach. And it would only be considered if the applicant decided that they, for whatever reason, and provided justification that said, hey, we think it's more harmful to pave this 27 square feet or whatever it is, as opposed to leaving it the current gravel that it is now.
That's what happens. We might have someone with expertise here.
I know.
That can even speak to that issue. So we will hear from Ms. Bartlett shortly. But Mr. Nyland, so we discussed stormwater. We discussed the road approach. In terms of Ms. Hillier explained, the idea is let's allow a little bit of flexibility in terms of engineering for your and your colleagues' final review. But that to you makes sense if the applicant can come up with ways to further reduce impacts in terms of engineering and site design. You're okay with that. You just obviously want the opportunity to review all that before any permits are issued. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir. That is accurate. And that's reflected in the condition regarding the consideration of a low impact or low impact excavation and foundations, so pin piles or tripods or other things. And as we've said previously, the city can't necessarily by code compel the use of those, but we can compel that you at least consider it and outline what that consideration means, meaning you have to actually get a bid from somebody who's experienced in that.
You got to prove that you thought about it. If it's going to cost $2 million to use pin piles, the city will not require it, but you had to at least have someone say, hey, this is possible, but not plausible.
Yes.
One way to think about it.
Exactly.
Okay. Did you have any further comments you wanted to share from engineering standpoint, Mr. Nyland?
No, sir. I do not. I think I'm good. Thank you.
Just in terms of road approach, we just want to make sure everyone is clear that, you know, we got to make sure it's safe for people on bikes so that they don't break themselves
right
onto the driveway. Just keep that
very good. So, duly noted. That's duly noted, Mr. Hearing Examiner. Thank you, sir. Appreciate thought.
I think at this point we'll turn it to our applicants, and then after that we can hear from Ms. Bartlett, who can provide additional information in terms of the wetlands on site and her review of the proposal for critical areas, ordinance compliance, et cetera, et cetera. So we have both applicants here. I'm going to swear you both in. Do you both swear affirm to tell the truth in any testimony you give here today?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. And could you both clearly state one at a time? We'll start with Emily, your name and spell it for the record.
Yep, Emily Croman,
K-R-O-M-A-N.
Okay, that one was easy. Now let's go to Justin.
Justin Huguet, H-U-G-E.
One more.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Huguet. One more time.
You got it?
No.
Huguet.
Huguet, okay.
U-E-T.
That's what I thought that you would not pronounce the T. Okay, Huguet, got it. Okay, excellent. So this is your opportunity then, again, one at a time. If you have additional information that you would like to provide me or any concerns with the staff analysis or recommended conditions, now would be the time.
Yeah, I mean, Annie's summary was spot on. The one addition, you guys had the question of the easement between the two properties. So we've actually been working with an attorney on that. Okay. It's our understanding that I think it would be required for the BSA through the county. And so we were basically waiting until the RUE was approved and we had like our final kind of septic line location approved before finalizing the easement. But that's underway.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Bruce Weiland is very aware, I think, of all of these phases. So he will be pulled in next, I think, on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys are aware that it's something that, you know, it would be beneficial to address in terms of reducing potential future conflict.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and just the other things too, we're very open and excited to explore kind of reducing impact further, you know, through either attaching the garage to the single family residence and or kind of exploring, you know, lower impact foundation options. So both of those things Annie mentioned, but just wanted to reiterate that we're aware and happy to kind of pursue both of those things before building permit approval.
Great. Anything further that either of you wanted to add? Did you have there's several recommended conditions of approval from Ms. Hillier's staff report. You had an opportunity to review them and you don't see any issue with complying with the recommended conditions?
No issues.
Okay. And with that, did you have anything further you wanted to add?
No, I don't think so. You have?
No, I've lived in this property since 1992. My family bought it in the 90s, and then we bought it from my mom in 2015. And then this whole process has taken between like the septic and all the city stuff. I think we've been working on this for like 4 years. So I'm just happy to be here today.
Yeah, we're grateful.
You can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
A milestone.
Okay. Great. Well, it's good that you guys have been patient, and it sounds like you have taken all the necessary steps and worked with city staff. I can tell you, and I'm sure Ms. Hillier and Mr. Nyland can chime in if they don't need to chime in, but often people will just, do stuff and ask for forgiveness, not permission, never the right approach. So good job taking the approach that you've taken. I know 4 years is a long time, but in the long run, it will all be worth it. So thank you. Great. I think then with that, we have Ms. Bartlett here, and I think we'll get her sworn in and she can speak more to sort of critical areas analysis and then maybe even weigh in on that driveway / road envelope issue. So Ms. Bartlett, thank you for being here. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Excellent.
I agree with everything that Annie outlaid with the staff report and as the Croman Huge applicant has said they would, the conditions are acceptable. I concur with that. And I think that I look forward to working with them on figuring out how to reduce the impacts further. I think they have done a really good job in getting the impacts reduced, and I feel confident that there won't be any significant adverse impacts on the wetlands and that the buffer planting plan will adequately protect the wetlands. So, and it's been good to work with Annie, and we've been working on the the septic and then moving the line. And I'm glad to see that there was a waiver issued for moving the line outside the wetland, because that would have been my preference as well. And to that end, I wanted to address the conditions. So everything will be updated per the conditions. We will update the mitigation plan to include the restoration through the buffer with the septic line. It will update the monitoring years from 5 to 7. And we'll update the mitigation plan in general based on the final site plan and additional minimization measures. And then I didn't, for some reason lately, my tables with ratings have been incorrect. So I will correct that as well on in the report so that everything reads accurately. On the road approach, I think because it's already impervious there, for me, it doesn't really make any difference if it's asphalt or gravel. I don't think it's going to have an impact on the wetland, on the wetlands itself, because I think it's going to go right into the ditches, you know, rather than into the wetlands. There seems to be kind of a berm or a little bit of a separation between the ditches and the wetlands. So I don't, either way, I think we'll be fine.
Okay.
Cause an impact.
And then to clarify, I'm getting an echo. It went away. Okay. To clarify your point about wetland ratings. So there's 4 wetlands, and I just want to make sure I don't mess up in my decision. Can you quickly just run me through what each of those wetlands A through D are supposed to be identified as, so that I make sure my decision is accurate?
Right. Wetlands A, B, and C are all category 3s.
Okay.
Require a 110-foot buffer. And wetland D is a category 4 with a 40-foot buffer.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Did you have any further information that you had wanted to share today, Ms. Barlow?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking the time and being here. At this point, I'm going to go back to Ms. Hillier. I just thought of one question. The only thing we hadn't talked about yet, but I remember reading something about it. The existing home is served by a well, correct, Ms. Hillier?
Yes, that's correct.
And now the new home is using that same well, is that right?
I believe so. Okay. Is that correct, applicants? Yeah. Looks like they're
not. They're
not. That was my understanding too.
Okay, so it will be joint use. And again, our applicants have sort of already explained that they're aware of legal consequences when you have stuff like your septic drain field on a different property or joint use of a well. So I think that's understood. But in terms of review, I don't think adding one home would change the category of the type of well from group A or to a group B or vice versa, right, Ms. Hillier? I mean, theoretically, someone is signing off on this. If it's Kitsap Health, I'm not sure who would be signing off. But
yeah, the Kitsap Public Health District would be signing off. And I know they've given their preliminary approval of this layout.
Great. Okay. So just wanted to make sure I asked about it so that it was clear. So in terms of utilities, again, we've got septic would be the way that sewage is treated on site, and then water would be from that joint well. And there is some discussion about, you know, where the well house and all that is going. And I know that's still, again, part of this plan is to allow a little bit of flexibility to reduce impacts as much as possible. Am I understanding that accurate?
That's correct.
Okay, well then, did you have anything further or final you wanted to add on behalf of the city, Ms. Hillier?
Nothing really formal, just thanks for having us today and great job to the applicant and the project biologist, Joanne, so thank you.
Great, and then finally our applicants, anything final you wanted to add?
No, nothing further from us, just Just thanks.
Okay. Well, I don't often get to do this, but I can tell you based on my review, I do not actually see an issue with ultimately approving this reasonable use exception with the proposed conditions that have been discussed. And so my office will issue a decision approving this reasonable use exception here in the next couple of weeks with the conditions that have been recommended by Ms. Hillier. And I'm going to throw in some language as discussed about that road approach that Mr. Nyland can ultimately weigh in on. Sounds like likely you'll have to actually do the road approach because Ms. Bartlett just testified that, it probably wouldn't have any net positive impact, but you didn't even know it was an option until me and Mr. Nyland were talking about it. So it's really no net loss in terms of what was discussed today. So I think I thank everyone. It's great when you get a thorough sort of analysis and everyone takes the critical areas on site seriously, and I am more than willing to allow the flexibility for further analysis by the applicant team and city staff for potential ways to further reduce impacts. But like I said, based on everything I've seen, I think that approval with the recommended conditions makes sense. And so I will produce a decision in the next 10 business days doing so. So I thank everyone for taking the time and being here. I wish everyone, I would say good health, but Mr. Nyland screwed that one up already. But good recovery, we wish Mr. Nyland, and safety and no injuries for the rest of you. So with that, we can end today's hearing. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Joanne. And